the last few weeks, we've been talking about a tough topic. And I hope you've been hanging in there with it, because it is a challenge. And we've been talking about this journey, going on this journey together of finding forgiveness. And I've been half joking, but really serious about how I've been calling the different, it's three part ones. It's a part 1A, part 1B, and 1C, because they're so tied together, these three facets of forgiveness, that you can't ignore any of them. And last Sunday, we started off with, hey, youth, we need you guys in there, so I'd love to have you in here. You guys can stay in here if you want, but you don't have to. And so that's all I'm saying. If you want to go help the kids, you can. Otherwise, chill here. You just got to listen to me the whole time. But, okay, so
there goes the
night. Yeah. Step 1A of forgiveness is connecting with God and realizing how eager He is for us to experience His forgiveness. And He is more concerned, this is what we talked about that first week, He is more concerned with our love than our performance. And that was one of the big takeaways in that first step, is He wants us to have a clean soul. He wants us to feel that detox at a spiritual level of all the gunk that just hits us in life. The mistakes that cause hurt and woundedness in our souls. And He wants to bring about a healing. And we have to tie in closely to what God has to offer, because He wants us to feel that forgiveness that He has to offer. But wait, part 1B, right on the heels of experiencing forgiveness from God, Jesus is so adamant about how that forgiveness will be incomplete in you until you take the necessary step of offering forgiveness to those who have hurt you. And that was last week, and that was a very challenging topic to dig into. And we kind of had a little discussion, a little forum in here of dealing with some of those very heavy, very direct passages from Jesus where he says that our forgiveness, our experience of God's forgiveness, hinges very closely, very tightly, very directly on our willingness to forgive others. And we saw how many times Jesus talks about that, and we dealt with that very intense parable that really drove home the point of how important it is to God for us, when we receive forgiveness from Him, to be able to turn around and offer that to others. So we're going to take a third step to kind of round out our experience of forgiveness today in part 1C, the big ask. And we're going to see what that is all about here in a second. But I'm kind of curious, because this is, what are your tools to help you remember things? You know, does anybody, I mean, are you a yellow sticky person, sticky pad person? Are you a tie the string on the finger? Are you set a timer? Don't do anything without checking your calendar. You know, what works for you? And let me ask you this question. What's a worse feeling? That feeling of, oh, I know there's something I'm forgetting. I was going to talk about this anyway. Okay, this is planned for a week ago. And so, what's a worse feeling? That feeling of, I know I'm forgetting something? Or that feeling when you realize what you've forgotten and it's too late to do anything about it? And who's, you know, I mean, in the last week, I mean, those are the feelings that haunt me. But Jesus, last week we looked at how He played into that emotion with us, because that's a very, you know, startling feeling. And He calls us out when in this passage from Mark 11, when He's saying, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And it's like, when, you know, if you realize, if you're in a time of worship, you're at church, You're in prayer, wherever you are, and all of a sudden it hits you, it dawns on you, that there's somebody that you need to forgive. It's more important for you to just, like, you know, leave that place, that space, and go
offer forgiveness. Well, this week we're going to look around. He does the same thing in another passage. He kind of flips things around this time. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. And he says, put a pause on it. It's not that big a deal. I can totally wait.
I know you're there and you're offering a gift of worship, of sacrifice to me, but what I'm really after is not that religious expression that you think is what's going to impress me. What I'm really after is something deeper that's going on in your soul and in the soul of another that needs to be rectified.
First, go and be reconciled to them. Then we can, you know, get together and do our thing. Then come and offer your gift. Because honestly, that worship, that gift is going to be kind of empty. For me and for you. If you don't take care of this important relationship first, that is in tension. God wants to resolve all these tensions. And I love how Eugene Peterson, who's just one of the most amazing linguist scholarships, he's scholars of our time, puts it in his paraphrase, The Message. This is how I want you, same passage, but kind of a paraphrase. Jesus talking, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters of worship. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. And you never know when these memories are going to hit you. Maybe you've been stuffing it down. Maybe you've been not wanting to think about it. But God does these pretty amazing things when we are in a place of worship, of standing before Him, before the altar, in a holy place. He will remind us. And these very important feelings and memories will pop into our head. If you suddenly remember, because that's when I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull that on you.
Because it's so important to Him.
That's what He's going to remind us. You suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Why do you think that is such a big deal to God that He would say, interrupt the flow of the worship service? Almost become a distraction. It can wait. That's not the big deal. I'm not going to be hurt. I'm not going to be offended. But what I'm really after is your relationships. I was trying to think of a good way to form some words to string a thought together here. Which one do you like better? God is more concerned with the health of our relationships than with our worship? Or, maybe this works a little better, caring for your relationships is directly, or our relationships is directly linked to our spiritual worship. God's saying, look, I love that you're here standing in worship of me, but it's incomplete. In order to complete it, if you've hurt somebody, if you've wounded someone, let's complete it by you going and taking the time. Let's extend this act of worship into real life. Going and making amends, asking for forgiveness, which can be one of the toughest, most humbling challenges in life. It's embarrassing because you know you've messed up and who knows how much time has gone by, but it's still almost like a little, the Bible talks about just a little yeast can work its way through the whole batch. And just even a tiny little thing, you know, that we know we've done it, and we've just sort of left it hanging out there, but there's that tension in a relationship. And every time we think of that person, you know, it just there's an unresolved, there's still an issue. Or maybe it happened, you know, very recently. Maybe there's something that took place today, and it doesn't have to go on for a long time. We can seek humility. That Christ gives us that example of being, you know, humble and surrendering our ego in so many ways. Here's the God of the universe surrendering Himself to become one of us. How can I not surrender my ego for the benefit of restoring a relationship by simply asking for some forgiveness? And I don't know if you've been around any some of the most impressive ministry I've seen in my life has taken place around AA type ministries, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Food Addicts Anonymous. I mean, there's all these ministries to those battling addictions that draw very directly from the truth and power of God's Word. And in AA, they call it the Big Book. You know, and this thing's been around since the 30s. And this is where the 12-step program originates. It's from the AA's the Big Book. And it's all, even though most of it is worded in kind of generalized language because it has such a broad outreach beyond the Christian reach, that much of the language is very broad and inclusive for anyone at any time in their faith journey or even non-faith journey. But in those 12 steps, you get to step 8 and 9, and it gets tough. I mean, it's all very challenging. But in fact, they need 2 steps to really deal with this whole idea of reaching out and humbling ourselves and asking forgiveness from those that we have hurt. And it's been one of the best. All the 12 steps have been just an incredible example to me of just any part of our relationship with God. But these 2 steps, I love the way they put it. Make a list of all persons we've harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. So the first step is, you know, you got to make that list and just, you know, have that emotional willingness. Take that step just in your heart to be willing to do something. And then you take action and make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so might make things worse or awkward, and you know, there's scenarios that I mean, you don't, you know, guys, you know, you don't walk up to a girl and go, "Hey, I want to apologize. I've been lusting after you for years." You know, I mean, nobody needs to, you know, work that out with God. That's just not going to be. That was one of the scenarios I read, made me laugh a little bit. But, you know, whatever situation, use some wisdom. You know, and what's great about being in AA is everybody's got a sponsor, a mentor to kind of walk them through. They've walked through that process, and they can advise you. And okay, what's really necessary for you to specifically address this person, and what can you work out between you and God, and that's enough, and that's good. And so I wanted to talk about what makes a good apology, because everybody's got a card and a pen. So we're going to talk about how we can take the necessary needed steps wherever we are in our lives with somebody in a unresolved relationship that's out there. But first, I wanted to talk about what makes a good apology and what might not make a good apology. So the worst, I mean, don't you hate it when somebody says, "I'm sorry, but..." I'm like, "Oh, this apology is going to..." Yeah, this is, you've already kind of ruined it. But I love some of these, like, anyway, so just have a quick look. I'm just trying to get cheap laughs at this point, so... I love the end, though. I hope you'll accept such a, you know, check which either sincere or well-articulated policy. And so, but I think we can all agree that when we've been apologized to, you know, with one of these little quantifiers, you know, that it kind of, you know, it kind of messes it up. I love how old Ben puts it, never ruin an apology with an excuse. But you guys tell me. I want to throw this out for discussion.
What makes a good apology? What's the part of it that that's worked for you when somebody's apologized to you that you found yourself? Well, yeah. Sure. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever, as a parent, this happens to us quite a bit when we say, you need to apologize to your sister.
I'm sorry.
Well, say why you're sorry.
I don't know.
You know, it's like, well, you mean, just like hit her like 3 seconds ago.
I don't know.
You know, and so, but it's, you know, to be able to acknowledge, yeah, I mean, take ownership. So, I mean, it's really actually, you're not just going through emotion. Awesome. Well, what else? What else helps with a good ask for?
It's genuine.
Yeah, that it's genuine. It's from the heart. What makes a heartfelt? What helps in that?
Well, if the parent is you listening, they're coming to that person and then knowing they are taking ownership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bringing those two things together, yeah. I think are very important.
Yeah.
And then maybe working out a compromise if there's an issue.
You want to do something about it,
right? Add to that sincerity. This is good. What else? What else makes a good bridge? A change of behavior. Basically saying, this won't happen again. I'll do my best to not do this. I know that this has hurt you, and I don't want that to happen anymore. So some sort of pledge for the future to change. Yeah.
Acknowledging their feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's overestimating.
Yeah.
Acknowledging how
Yeah. Good stuff. And so, you know, I was kind of scouring, you know, resources for what's, you know, the most basic core parts of a good, sincere, you know, desire for forgiveness. And you guys basically hit on all these, you know, talking, you know, identifying what I'm sorry for, why, you know, it was wrong, realizing, you know, how it hurt. And then talking about, you know, in the future, I will, you know, do my best to make a change. But then this last part of just really asking this question, when whether it's face to face, whether sometimes it's more appropriate to write it in a card, it depends on the relationship, it depends on the issue. And nobody can define that exactly except for you and maybe somebody close to you in your life. But asking these powerful but very difficult words, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? So important to not only start off with an I'm sorry for, but to ask, will you forgive me? But it's so cleansing. If you've ever done this, I think we've all had to at some level. It feels very good to be able to step into that type of humility and vulnerability. It can be scary because you don't know necessarily what's coming back or how it's coming back. But to know that you've done your part to the best of your ability and asking, will you forgive me? But God desires that so much. It's so important to Him. You can't touch the heart of God in any act of worship without being able to take this step. That's how key to our spiritual life and our spiritual growth that this is. Well, I thought it would be good and helpful and healthy for us to take some time to today and work on this a little bit. And maybe you could be in any one of several places. This could be something that's really impending in your life that you need to articulate a well-worded, sincere, deep apology now, today, to somebody in your life. And it can't just go any longer without taking this step. Or maybe you've reconciled with a certain person, but looking back on things, you did your best, but maybe you weren't in a place where you had the resources or the help or the encouragement to really do as good of a job that maybe you could do now. And maybe you need a little bit of a redo. And not to bring up old wounds or anything like that, but in an appropriate, healthy way to revisit and maybe top off or complete, you know, what's still been left unresolved and be able to apply it that way. Or maybe everything's going great. You've got no amends to make. You're at peace with everyone out there in the world. So maybe it's just some good, healthy practice right now and you'll be ready the next time, you know. But you will be ready, you know, and it'll be on your mind and in your heart, and you'll be prepared to and motivated to offer that forgiveness if and when that need arises, so that you won't fall into the very easy trap of letting something just kind of go on too long when it doesn't have to. Because you've got Christ's Spirit, His power in you to reach out in any situation. So take some time. Take some time and scribble some words down in a way that's needed for you. In a way that's needed for someone in your life. Sorry, sheesh, should I have put an 8.5 by 11 on everybody's chair? Well, take your time. It's can be one of the most difficult but important, life-changing, impactful things you do. And if a card like you're holding in your hands was to be given to someone else, that might be a card that they hold on to for a very long time to remind them of your relationship, your commitment to them, and to be an example of how they can do the same thing somewhere in their life. So what you're doing now really has important potential. God breathing His goodness and His restoration into your lives and relationships. But it's not easy. And I just want to read this, just to wrap up, I want to read this passage from Paul in Ephesians. And he wrote a lot of letters from from prison. He's writing one here, and he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And then these big words: "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Love can be hard, hard work. Unity can be very difficult. Maintaining peace in our lives, our families, our relationships, whether in work, in our neighborhoods, wherever, can be excruciatingly difficult and challenging at times. And going into the holidays, who knows what kind of relationships and challenges are before you that you're going to encounter when we come back together and we're celebrating under one roof and in a very unique way that maybe we don't at other times in the year. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless these efforts made today. We need your help. We need your spirit of humility to invade our pride and to empower us to make that big ask, to say we're sorry, to ask forgiveness for those who we've brought pain and woundedness into their life. But that can be healed, because that is what you are after. You are after healing and transformation and freedom from the mistakes and the pains that we bring in to each other's lives. And so, Lord, bring healing. Bring that freedom. And Lord, I pray that you would use our desire to worship you, that you would extend that into resolving tensions and bringing peace in every relationship in our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Keith and our worship team lead us in some more music, I just hope this continues to weigh on your heart and you just reflect on how God can use you and strengthen you to bring healing in someone else's life because of your desire to simply ask for their forgiveness. You need it, and they need to be asked. But come to the communion table when you're ready. Again, a place where who knows what God may remind us of at that altar, at that table of worship. And if you would like to pray, our prayer team would love to pray with you in the back of the room.